Father's Day is just around the corner, and you probably need a gift for your hairy dad. Make your dad proud this year and get him and yourself the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right. The Lawnmower 4.0. Get 20% off and free shipping using the promo code HAYES. That's H-A-Y-E-S at manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAYES at manscaped.com. So the Jays are back in Buffalo tonight, taking on the Yankees. And I'm predicting more of a Yankee crowd tonight. I kind of get that impression. This might be the only series where it's going to be more about the road team than the home team. But let's go right to the source, a guy who's probably familiar with the town. He lives down there. Here's our buddy Jack Armstrong. Do you think it'll be pro Blue Jays tonight or pro Yankees tonight, Jack?
Well, I'm actually going to the game tomorrow night. I know one thing. I'll be enjoying myself with a few cold beverages. And
what kind of outfit, Jack? Is it going to be a Yankees gear
gear? I got to tell you something. I grew up in Brooklyn, and I grew up rooting for the Yankees. But tomorrow night, I'm going to be rooting for the Jays because they're playing here in Buffalo, and I got to be loyal to the team that's playing here. And there's 162 games in a season, and tomorrow night I'm going to have an affinity for the Jays tomorrow night. My Yankee buddies are going to be ticked at me, but you know what? The Yankees aren't the home team in Buffalo tomorrow night. The Jays are.
Like,
so we got to pull behind the team that's here. And I was at the game 2 weeks ago when they played the Marlins the first game. I had a great time, and I'm looking forward to it tomorrow night, and it should be great, and I can't wait.
Jack, would you and your buddies ever stack cups up like the guys in Chicago did the other day? Would you ever just stack up the cups and have a monster snake of beer cups?
I don't have that kind of game anymore. I mean, I've lost my fastball. You know, I'm still trying to get people out with my curveball, my slider, my off speed pitch. I'm trying to fool them at this stage of the game, a little knuckleball, whatever it takes at this stage. But, you know, a few of my buddies are coming with me, and my lovely bride is coming, too. So she will be our driver. So we're all good, and we'll have a good time. We're going to get there around 4:30, a little pre-game activities. You know, we're accustomed to this in Buffalo. You know, I mean, I'm at the Bills games on Sunday morning, usually 8:30, 9 o'clock, about 4 hours before kickoff. So I'm actually being somewhat civil getting there about 3 hours before the game. But I'll be ready to go tomorrow night.
I like it. Well, and Josh Allen's throwing out the ceremonial first pitch on Thursday. He's going to be on the show on Thursday as well. So,
well, you know, I here I am. I work in Toronto. I've been working in Toronto 23 years. I mean, Josh Allen hasn't done anything for Toronto, and maybe I haven't either. I mean, I would love an invite to maybe throw out a pitch once in a while. I mean, come on. I threw out a pitch years ago for the Bisons. And no love, but hey, Josh Allen, he's doing a little bit more than I am.
Sell yourself short. What we can do, though, I think this would be the way we can pitch to the Jays. You show up 3 hours before, get into some Coors Lights, get a little bit of a snap on, and then you throw out the first pitch.
Love it.
And then we see how it plays out, Jack, because anything is possible at that point.
I tell you what, if my guy Paul Beeston was at the Jays now, it would be a done deal already.
Yeah, that's
absolutely
right.
He's the guy, he's the man.
That's right. He is day oneer, man. Everyone loves Paul Beeston. That's a fact. With Jack Armstrong. All right. Oh, go ahead. You want to present
Jack?
Honestly,
I got to apologize for this because this is trash from your man Brian Hayes, and big leaguers like yourself and I, Jack, we understand what goes behind this. But this guy Hayes seems to think that if my man KD doesn't get this done without his running man or his running mates, his legacy will take a hit. Is that not nonsense to you or what?
You know what I have to say to that? Get that garbage out of here!
Yeah!
No, not garbage.
I mean, seriously, Hayes, you didn't really say that, Brian.
No, he did 20 minutes ago.
Had to join a 73-win team. Had to get his MVPs with Steph and Clay and Draymond. Here's your chance. Let's see what you got, KD. You're the best player in the world. Let's see what you got. Who needs Harden and who needs Kyrie? You can get this done. Mike Budenholzer is going to throw you a curveball or two. He's probably going to put one right down the middle the way that this guy coaches in the playoffs. Let's see what you got, KD. I want to see him close.
I don't disagree with you about Mike Budenholzer. I'll tell you what, if I'm ownership and management of Milwaukee, he better have answers if he doesn't play Giannis, Middleton, and Holiday minimum 42 minutes tonight.
Right.
I mean, I love how he was the smartest guy in the world when he got hired there. Now he's just a dum-dum.
Well, you know what? I mean, because he coaches. The problem is he's a little stubborn, and he coaches the same way in the playoffs as he does in the regular season. And, you know, this is a sprint now. This is not a marathon. And you got to go for the neck. You got to go for the jugular. And you got to – so to me, I like the fact that Giannis has played – an average around 41 minutes the last two games. And, you know, I mean, tonight is a moment of truth night. If you're the Bucks and you're going to get to the East Finals, and if you're going to keep your job as a coach, you know, you're all in here. I mean, whether Harden plays a dozen, I mean, you're in a hostile environment. You got to go down with your best guys. I mean, yeah, you got a game six at home, but do you want to really go back and have to win a game seven in Brooklyn and give them more time to maybe potentially get healthy? You don't do that. You have got to go for it tonight. And on the other hand, I'm a huge KD fan. I've loved him from the time he was at the University of Texas with Oklahoma City. I just think he's a wonderful talent, and he is a fascinating guy. He's like a different version of Dirk Nowitzki, like a seven-footer that shoots like, you know, if you don't see him in person, you don't realize just how big and how long this guy is. And he shoots like he's a six-footer. He's just so skilled, a wonderful player. And again, I get your criticism on Brian of why he jumped to Golden State, and he has been a bit dramatic at times. I'm not a social media guy, so I don't follow any of that nonsense anyway. But I just think that when I watch him play, it brings a smile to my face. I love him. I think he's a joy to watch. And I'm excited to see him play again. I'm happy he's healthy. But tonight, who knows? I mean, there's rumors that Harden might try to play. The guy that's got to bring it tonight, and the Bucks have done a good job to their credit, is Joe Harris. I think Joe Harris is, I don't know, you can go around the league and say, who's got a better fourth guy on their team? And you could argue, is it Blake Griffin or Joe Harris? But from a perimeter perspective, that guy's a world-class shooter. And what has he gotten? 5 points on big four, 19.
Four, gotta five, hit threes. 5 points.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think he's had average 5 points in the last two games on 4-19 shooting. The previous two games, I think he was around 17 points. So he's a guy that really impacts spacing, and he's a guy that has to be a compliment when they load the house up on KD. So he'll be a guy. Then Blake Griffin has played. I like how he's looked. But, you know, they're going to need a lot of help for KD. But to put it on his shoulders, yeah, he's got to get 35 plus. He's got to be an absolute beast. And I tell you what, too, watch out for the refs tonight, because everyone's going crazy about how PJ Tucker has been so physical, and the series has been called like it's a 1980s playoff series. So I think the Nets have planted all those seeds. So keep an eye on the officials tonight in this game. And, you know, if it's a delicate, tight whistle, that helps KD, that helps the Nets. I think if you're the Bucks, man, you got to come out guns a blazing. At the same time, you got to be smart and adapt to the officials, because you got to keep an eye on them tonight.
With Jack Armstrong, the last few weeks has been the Chris Paul appreciation tour, and we were talking about this yesterday, that it seems somewhat unwarranted. I mean, this is a guy who was I believe a third overall pick. He's a lock first ballot Hall of Famer.
Never did it the easy way, though, Hazy B.
Right. And listen, he's been spectacular. The way he just performed in those four games against Denver, like his numbers are off the charts. He's the definition of a pure conventional point guard, and he's a spectacular player. But answer this for us, Jack. You've been around the NBA forever. Is he underrated, appropriately rated? Like, what should we be making of all this chatter about Chris Paul all of a sudden?
Well, I love Chris Paul. My dear friend Skip Prosser, who passed away, was the head coach of Wake Forest, and Skip recruited him at Wake. And, you know, I've always been a big fan of Chris Paul from the time he was in high school. And to me, when I look at him play, he's the consummate floor general. He makes everybody better. And, you know, he's had some meltdowns in the playoffs. I mean, if you look back at his time in New Orleans and L.A., you know, he's had his moments where, you know, there's been some question of how clutch this guy is. And, you know, it was funny. I was joking with my wife the other day, and she was a former Division I women's basketball coach as well as soccer coach. And I said to her the other night, we were watching a game, and I said, you look at Chris Paul, he's helping Kyle Lowry's value that much more. I mean, we live in the era of Federer and Brady and Serena and people like that. I mean, Phil Mickelson winning a major a few weeks ago. And I look at Chris Paul, what he's doing in an extended age, and you have all these people that write these articles about, well, you can't do it after age 34, 35 as a point guard in the NBA. And I don't agree with that. I think today's world, in terms of the wonderful job our trainers, our sports performance people do with athletes today, and how professional and how dedicated our athletes are. I mean, there's so much money at stake. These guys do it and these ladies do an amazing job of being prepared. So here's the thing. I think Chris Paul has come in and made such a huge impact on winning. They've had talent in Phoenix, but they haven't had direction and toughness and a guy that will call people out. And he's got some sandpaper to him. He's a tough dude, and he's, you know, he's a little grumpy and a little angry sometimes, but those young guys need that. And he's done a beautiful job, and he's got that partnership with Monty Williams. He played for Monty before in New Orleans, so there's a high level of respect there. And, you know, to me, I'm just happy for him, and I'm happy for older players. I look at a guy, you know, and it's interesting. I love what Masai Ujiri said when things didn't work out with trading Kyle Lowry. He goes, we value this guy so much. And he goes, maybe other people don't really see it. And I guess his point is kind of the same point that we're making about Chris Paul right now. I think the Raptors value what Kyle Lowry brings that sometimes don't necessarily show up on the stat sheet, but they are so impactful for winning, and I think that's what Chris Paul brings. And good for Chris Paul, and I think this helps Kyle as well with the Raptors, whether it be coming back, whether it be partnering on a sign and trade, or whether leaving as a free agent. I think that these guys have such value to winning and leadership and know-how. And to me, I don't think you could ever put a price on that. And too often people get too caught up in statistics and all that, when in fact it's a people business. It's a human business. And how one person walking in that room impacts the whole room, that's Chris Paul. And your two partners, Brian, I think they totally understand that with some of the great players they played with. And maybe it wasn't even the greatest player in the room, but it might have been the best leader. And I think Chris Paul has that. I think Kyle Lowry has that.
Jack, we talk about it all the time, whether it be makeups and rosters of teams. And you just mentioned, like, can you be too nice? I mean, you want to bring in good people to your organization, upstanding citizens, blah, blah, blah. But don't you think it can be a positive if you bring in a guy with maybe a bit of an attitude problem, just a bit on edge, and that's not happy every day and that doesn't love every game, win or lose, just to kind of have that edge where not everyone's like, hi, how's it going? I'm doing great today, win or lose. It's just, as a former coach, can it kind of be a value to kind of have some guys with edge, just as you mentioned?
Well, you know, it's funny. I had lunch this afternoon with Greg Paulus, who's a coach at Niagara University, where I used to coach. And Greg was a four-year starter for Mike Krzyzewski at Duke. And on top of that, when he graduated from Duke, he was an All-American in both basketball and football, and he was the starting quarterback at Syracuse in his fifth year. I mean, this guy's a stud. And we were chatting just about that today at lunch. And I said to him, I said, look, you can't win with Sammy Sweatsox. You know, you can't win with some kid who's a nice guy who sets screens and passes the ball, all that. Those guys don't get you over the hump. You know, the great Al McGuire, coach at Marquette, the Hall of Famer, used to say, you know what, you can't have all milk drinkers. You know, you got to have one or two whiskey drinkers. You got to have some badass you-know-what. And you got to have a good mix. You got to have a lot of good guys that are, you know, doing it, and even the guys that are the tough, badass, you know what, you know, they got to be good citizens and good people, but nonetheless, when they get between the lines, they got to be killers. They got to be guys that are just going for the jugular. And to me, you know, when I think of a guy like Kobe Bryant, when I think of Michael Jordan, when I think of Kyle Lowry, when I think of Chris Paul, those guys are looking to rip your heart out. And I want guys like that on my team. And once in a while, you gotta, you know, you gotta work with them a little bit, massage the ego and all that. But it's all worth it because they're good people. They care about winning. They have a love affair with the sport. And quite frankly, they're seeing the game at such a higher level many times than their actual coach that these guys are savants. And, you know, if you just get on board with what they're thinking, you know, it's I love watching Steve Nash coaching now. That's what Steve Nash – now, I wouldn't say Steve Nash came off as a bad dude, but I'll tell you what, Steve Nash is as competitive a guy as you'll meet. And the guy, you know, for him to achieve what he's achieved, you know, there's a lot more than just him, you know, him being a guy that's dedicated, this, that, the other thing. He's tough. He's competitive. He's a leader. He's a guy that inspires and bring people together. You know, so again, I think in our time with analytics, and again, I have a respect and I have an appreciation for it, but I'll say this again about analytics. Analytics, it's like you go out to dinner, you have your steak and potato. The human element is the steak and the potato. The salt and the salt and pepper you put on your steak, that adds flavor. That's analytics. The sour cream or the chives or the butter you put on your potato, that adds flavor. But the steak and the potato are the main entree. That's the person. And I think too often we're getting it backwards. And to me, I think, again, analytics is another viewpoint, and it's a tremendous viewpoint, and it's another way to evaluate. But it is not the be-all, end-all. It's part of the process.
Enjoy the game tomorrow night, Jack. Go Jays.
You're our steak, and you're our potato,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's
buddy.
Right, buddy. Enjoy it. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Go Jays. Have a great night, fellas.
You got it. Jack Armstrong.